Hey there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the How to Lead podcast. My name is Adam Torno. I'm here with Clay Sproggins. Clay, we're going to start a little like micro series maybe here within the How to Lead podcast on confusing things bosses say. So today we're going to take a phrase that maybe today's emerging leader would hear from a boss. You and I have both worked for lots of bosses. We've both been bosses. We've said some of these things.
Exactly. That's the convicting part.
Yeah, that's the hard part. It's like, dang it, I've told people to do this before. So we're just going to try to pick out some of these phrases that people might hear, unpack it. What do we think the average boss or leader means when they say this? We would love to start collecting some of these too. So if you're listening to this episode and you're like, my boss always says this and I have no clue what she means when she says this or what he means, send us an email, info@howtolead.work. We'd love to think about these. But today we are going to talk about this one phrase that is often said to a young emerging leader, which is, Clay, you need to act like an owner. You need to act like an owner. Did you ever hear that? And what went through your head as a young leader when you heard act like an owner?
Hear it. I said it, of course. there's a chapter in How to Lead You're Not in Charge on thinking critically. And I talked about shifting to being an owner, acting like an owner for sure. But yeah, and the confusing part, I'm so glad we're doing this because it is so helpful to explain things that are confusing. It's even more helpful to point out what confusing things are actually out there in the world.
Yes.
And I don't know that I would have thought of this one, but you're totally right. One of the challenges that I would have felt when I was in my 20s and I would have heard a boss say that is, I'm 28. I'm not an owner. I have never been an owner. I don't know that I ever will be an owner, but you're asking me to act like one. Huh. That's kind of tough.
We don't work for a theater company. And so acting
right.
is not
so I don't
what you
pretend.
Hired me to do. Yeah.
Right.
So I think that can be a little strange. I like how my buddy Rob Thomas said it one time when he was talking about this, when he started to become a real owner, he was like, for the first time, it was not phantom ownership. I was like, that is so good because that's what it feels like. You're just chasing ghosts. There's all these little phantoms out there and it's just act like somebody that you're not. And I don't think that's what bosses mean. I don't think that is if what they don't want you to do is just show up and act every day and not be who you are. It really is. There's like some tone of just be responsible. Just make sure this gets done. Really pour your heart and soul into this project like it was your idea. My buddy John McGee says that a lot. Like, I want you to execute this idea like it was yours. I think that's a little bit more helpful than act like an owner. But I do have three ways that I think can make it even, if we're going to go even more practical on ways for a young leader to start to act like an owner. And what I'll do is this, is I'll just change the word act and I'll exchange that word for another word that I think will help unlock some things here. So rather than acting like an owner, acting like somebody that you're not, it may be more helpful to approach this by saying, think like the owner. So every owner or business leader out there right now, or organizational leader, they think a particular way. There are certain things that are very important to them. And so as an emerging leader, what you want to do is you want to start to study the way they think, and you want to start to think like them. And so three very simple ways that you can do this. Number one is really trying to understand the basic economics of your organization. So every organization that exists needs money to exist. So there is cash flow coming in from sales or donations if you're with a nonprofit. There are costs going out. And so that's a great thing for you as an emerging leader to know. For my organization, what are the basic economics here? Where does our cash come from and where does it go? What's our most profitable product? What product do we lose money on? What is our cash reserve balances? What are our profit margins right now? Just understanding the basic economics can be incredibly helpful for learning how to think like an owner, because that's stuff that owners think about a lot. So that would be a great first step, is just starting to study the basic economics of your organization.
Now that you're a business owner, which this is great for you and I to have this conversation, because we worked for organizations, sat smack dab in the middle of organizations for years, a couple decades, and now we each own our own business. You naturally do this, to your point about you can think like this. This is how you think. You think through the economic system or economic structure of your little Adam Tarno, my little Clay Scroggins organization, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I worked for a big organization, if we needed a new tool, it would just be like, why can't we just go buy it? Right? Because I just had this idea that money grew on trees, basically. Like, there was just this stockpile of gold out there from like the, some cartoon with Scrooge McDuck just sitting on top of that pile of gold somewhere. And that's just not the way it works. Now, if I want to buy a piece of equipment or a new piece of software or do something for marketing or something like that, the first question I'm asking is the cash flow there? So not just is the cash sitting in the bank, but I also like future things going on. Am I going to be able to pay the future, pay the bills that I know that are coming up? Can I pay the rent? Can I, continue to pay for those subscription services for the software? So absolutely, it impacts every decision I make as a small business owner.
Well, one of the ways I would see this is I would see people gradually in their career begin. I would see them starting to care more about things that don't impact the economic structure of the organization. So for instance, this is very common for people over time to, I want to coach leaders. I don't want to be in sales anymore, or I don't want to be a producer anymore. I want to help coach our leaders. I want to help work on our culture, our staff development, which those indirectly connect to how we are revenue, but particularly in the church world, the economic engine of the church world is getting people to engage in what you're doing. And the people that were the producers were the ones out on the front lines, constantly pulling people in, constantly helping people engage more deeply. And as people engage more deeply, they would contribute more to the organization. And so it should have been a red flag for people to go, oh, this is why my boss is having a hard time saying yes to this, because this is pulling me away from staff development, coaching leaders, coaching our own internal staff. It's pulling me away from the production of the organization. And that's why the boss doesn't love it.
That's right. Yeah. So we got to understand the basic economics. So great questions to ask your boss. What keeps you up at night? What financial number keeps you up at night? Because that'll be the second item that you can do here, is knowing what numbers are most important to the owner. So I'm going to get really accounting nerdy here, but three basic financial statements that you remember from your accounting days, Clay. You had the balance sheet, the income statement, the statement of cash flows. So every owner thinks about one of those financial statements, and all the numbers on those financial statements are very important. You just need to know, the owner or your leader, which number are they most focused on? Is it something on the balance sheet? Are they looking at the debt number? Are they looking at the cash reserves number? Is that the number they're most concerned about? Or is it over on the income statement? Are they looking at top line revenue? Are they looking at gross profit? Are they looking at net profit? Is that the number that keeps them up at night? Is it over on the statement of cash flows? Are they looking at cash flows from operations, cash flow from financing, cash flow from investing? You just need to know which one is most important to them. And then the third thing you would do is you would now start to try to connect the dots on going, how do I impact that number that's really important to them that also drives the basic economics of the organization? So I think those three things right there, you got to understand how cash flows through the organization, what number is most important to your boss, and how does your job impact that number? Now you're going to start to think like an owner. And I think now your boss is going to go, yes, that, now we're thinking the same way. That's why we're going after this project and that, not that project. That's why we're saying yes to this thing and no to that thing. Now you're starting to be responsible and you're starting to think like an owner, which I think is a little bit more helpful than just acting like one.
Well, and the thing I love about it is it is so practical. Every single person out there can go answer those three questions, and you will only be a better leader for having answers to those three questions. So put it on your list of things to think about at your next one-on-one with your boss, your next time that you've got carved aside to be able to think about things. Try to answer those three questions, because it'll give you something practical to actually do. But more than that, It will help you to start thinking like the owner of the company actually thinks.
That's right. That's right. All right. And when you got your confusing things that your boss says, send them in. We'd love to continue to add to this little series. So Clay, as always, great to be with you today. Thank you so much for listening to the How to Lead podcast. We would love to hear from you. Do you have any questions, any comments, any topics that you would like for us to consider for future episodes? If so, best way to reach out to us is via email. We can be reached at info@howtolead.work. That's info@howtolead.work. This episode, like all of our episodes, was mixed and edited by the amazing team at Sound of a Rose. You can learn more about them at soundofarose.com. That's all we've got for today. We'll talk to you again next week.